you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now Is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome back to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth, Stove Crew number 4, numero 4. I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with their crew leader.
I'm Riley Higa, and I'm from Santa Clara, California.
I'm Tina McBride from Santa Clara, California.
I'm David McBride from Santa Clara, California.
I'm Olivia McBride from Santa Clara, California.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I say welcome back because you've all been here before. The McBride family, this is your second year. Is that right, Olivia? Second year? She's nodding her head. And Riley, this is your 9th year?
11th year with you.
11th year. Wow. Amazing. And we're so thrilled that Riley was able to join us because it wasn't happening for a while. Like a long while. We thought this is not going to happen. She was in and then she was out. And then literally last week, right?
Yeah. Like a few days ago.
A few days ago, she said, I'm in. Pastor Stewart said, I'll find a ticket. He found a ticket. It was within our budget, and you're here, and we're so grateful because we really needed her leadership, her 11 years of experience. And so we're really grateful to all of you for coming back. So I always like to ask, why did you come back? We're glad that you came back, but why did you come back?
Because you let us.
Yeah, that's very kind. Yes, we definitely let you. Tell me about this past year, McBride family, because last year was your first year, and it was all new, and you felt led by the Holy Spirit to come back. Why?
Yeah. I don't know. We just loved it so much, I guess. We had a, you know, we enjoyed, every day was an adventure. We were all early crew. We built stoves. David did floors, and you know, just interacting with the people, we thought, how can we not come back and do it again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think on day one last year, we were both kind of in agreement that we probably wouldn't be coming back again. just everything's so new and different and, you know, kind of nerve-wracking in that regard. But, yeah, after, you know, meeting the people, seeing how big a difference we can make in their lives, and just how grateful they are for our help. Yeah, it's that was kind of the. After that, we couldn't really say no.
That's fascinating. So day one, you were out. Like you're like, take a lot of pictures because we're never doing this again.
Yeah. Like, what did we get ourselves into? We can check this off our bucket list. Yeah. One and done. But yeah, and then it just got better.
It can be overwhelming, the culture shock. Bless you. The culture shock that we have pretty intense days. I mean, they're long days and eat now, go here, go there, worship. And yes, they're very, very long, intense days. And so, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But they're very well organized and they're, you know, it's everything's planned for you. You realize I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about when I wake up, I don't need to figure out what I'm going to go do or what I'm going to eat. It's all right there. And they take us from place to place and they show you how to do everything. And I don't know, it's kind of like a mini vacation.
Good. That's great. We're glad to hear that because we know it can be a burden. I mean, it can be a physical burden, number one. Last year, David, you were on floors. I was just asking you at dinner, you know, do you miss it? And you said,
yes and no. So, yeah. Waking up early was a little rough the first day or two, but adjusted pretty quickly. It's fairly physically demanding. But I enjoyed that part. So, I told Stuart last year, I think on day two or three, you know, before we came, I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to do my workouts, you know, 3 times a week. This, you know, I was like, well, after the first day of floors, I wasn't worried about that anymore. So, Yeah, but it was great. You know, meeting the people. And like Tina said, you know, just everything's organized. You just tell me what to do, I do it. So I like that part. I didn't have to really think about it.
Yeah, there is some freedom in that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Olivia, what's one of the memories that you had from last year? What was one of the favorite things that you liked about last year?
Building stoves.
Building the stoves. And now you're a professional stove builder. Did you build some stoves today?
Yeah.
Yeah. What part do you do with the stove building?
The ash.
The ash. Tell us how that works. Why do you put ash on the stove?
To keep it level.
To keep it level, right. So there's like little bit of space in between a couple of the big pieces, and the ash helps level that out, just a little bit of ash. And then there's another part where the ash goes, right? Do you remember where that is?
On the plancha, right?
It helps seal it.
You remember doing that? Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's one of the cool things about the stove is you can use things from the house, like ashes from a former fire, mm-hmm. to use to actually reassemble the stove. If you have to wash off the plancha or the big metal griddle top, once you do, you want it to sit nice and snug. And so you just sprinkle some ashes around that gap to make it tight. And I just think that's a brilliant, brilliant design. So, Olivia, what do you like about this year's mission? Anything stand out for you?
I get to go to VBS.
You get to go to VBS. Now, did you not go to VBS last year?
Mm-mm.
No. And you went to VBS today. Tell us about VBS. What did you like about VBS?
Make crafts and do worship. And yeah.
And were there other kids there with you today?
Yeah.
A lot, right? Is it fun?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any of the games?
No.
No? Maybe tomorrow. We got different games every day. VBS is one of my favorite times, too. Riley, what's one of your favorite parts of the mission?
I like any time where you're, like, interacting with people, because, like, one, I get to practice my very marginally adequate Spanish.
Oh, that is not true.
Marginally adequate. It's just like, I don't know, I enjoy interacting with people, and it's like fun connecting with the people we talk to, like when we're building stoves, and you have like time in between to talk to the family, especially because my team is so great that they do all the work and I can just, you know, stand around.
Socialize,
yeah. And like talking to the kids during VBS, so definitely just interacting with the people that you're working with.
You feel like your Spanish has improved in the past year, or are you kind of at the same level? I found that usually every time I come back, it takes me a couple of days, and then I usually discover that I can do a little bit more than I did last time.
Yeah, I haven't taken a Spanish class in a while, so like the last time I was actually using Spanish was this time last year on the trip. So, yeah, it's taking me a little bit to remember things, but yeah.
Riley, tell us about the paper that you were writing. You were telling me, tell us about that. Tell us about that paper and how it influenced your decision to come back. Maybe not your decision, but maybe your desire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I like didn't think I was going to come because I thought I would have an internship, but no one hired me. So luckily I did come. I'm a global studies major at UCSB, and one of my like major courses was a global development class, and so I wrote my 12-page final paper on like a development intervention, and that was the stove that we built, or the stoves that we build.
Development intervention.
Yeah, so basically it has to solve more than one development issue. So like with the stove, it helps the deforestation issue as well as the indoor air pollution issue. That's a big problem, especially with indigenous communities in Guatemala. So writing that paper was like really making me want to come.
At that point, you didn't think you were, right?
No, I didn't.
So you said you're writing it and it is...
Yeah. Like researching it was like making me want to come really badly. And I was so upset that I couldn't, but here I am.
Because it would have broken a chain the past 11 years. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's such a huge part of your life.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I haven't done anything every year for the past 11 years. Well, this. But I mean, outside of that. So, and that's half your life, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Almost more.
Yeah. Which is, I can't, I mean, I when you were telling me that, I could envision you staring at the computer screen thinking, what am I doing here? Like, yeah. This is, I'm supposed to be there. This is part of my life, right? Because your whole family comes as well. Mm-hmm. And they are, and they were coming, and they are here. And so are you.
Yeah. Now. Glad to be here.
We're so grateful that, I mean, I really am sorry that you didn't get the internship.
No worries.
Honestly. But
yeah.
It was divine intervention because we really needed your leadership. Skills.
And it's cool coming after like writing that paper too, because now I feel like I have like I have like quantitative evidence from like researching it. Like I feel like it's a very solid intervention. In fact, like I had to do like, or they asked you to write a part about like critiques of ways you could improve the intervention or problems with it, and I really didn't have any problems to write about. So, and even my TA was like looking at it like, yeah, I don't see any issues with this. So it made me really like feel good about putting my time into this specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going into this area that you have literally years of experience, hands-on experience on the ground in the developing country. That must be terribly exciting.
Yeah.
To be able to put all that experience into your career. So tell me about today. What would you guys do today? Maybe share a little bit about one of the families or maybe one of the houses that you visited. Anything stand out?
I was surprised how quickly we built the stoves. I was a little worried about that. I mean, I didn't have any doubt in Riley not knowing what she's was doing. She was an excellent crew leader. I doubted myself a little bit more because last year we were with Pastor Stewart and Fred. I don't know his last name, but they've worked together for several years. So we did a lot of watching last year.
I see.
So I wasn't too sure about, and then I thought, oh, poor Riley, she's going to have to do all the work. Or, you know, like David thought she was going to drive us around to all the locations because floors drive themselves, right? So yeah. He was like, so is Riley going to drive us around? And I'm like, no, we have a driver. So I was kind of a little worried about that. But I mean, I thought we all worked really well together, and it went really fast. I was really surprised about that.
That's great. Good.
And I can't remember if it was the first house or the second house we went to it was the first house where I thought we put the stove in the wrong location because they had the blocks set up, and then the woman started speaking to Riley in Spanish, and I was kind of understanding bits and pieces, and so I thought she was telling Riley that we had put the stove in the wrong place, and it was already
right after
lit.
We completed it.
Oh,
yeah, like it was
cut the
done,
hole, sealed it. Yeah. The fire's yes, going. Yeah, fire's smoke's going. Coming out of the chimney.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm like, we put the but it turned out it wasn't the exact location. Is that right? That they wanted it. But where they wanted it, they were told that it couldn't be in there, and that's why it was where it was. But
it was like indoors with zero ventilation, so.
Yeah, one of the things about these stoves is it has to be pointed in the right direction so you get good airflow so the smoke does go out the chimney and not. The fire needs oxygen to breathe, and that is one of the very few limitations. It does have to be kind of pointed towards a window or a doorway and have some sort of ventilation.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a panic, like, wow, our first oven, we've already messed up really bad.
So was that a little tense for you, Riley, or were you able to explain to them the situation?
Yeah. I was, like, able to I feel like I have, like, very niche conversations where I, like, definitely know how to say those things, and one of those is, like, know it needs air to, like, be able to work, and so I was able to tell her that, but, okay.
Yeah, it can be stressful. I mean, you can imagine if a refrigerator is delivered to your house, you have a pretty good idea where that's going. Mm-hmm. And then they say, no, it can't go there. It's got to go over here. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, this is going to affect our life in a big way. So, yeah, I can imagine that would be a little intimidating. What else about today? Did you meet anybody interesting? Anything stand out? Olivia, can you describe one of the homes that you went in today?
One of them had chickens and a bunny.
And chickens and a bunny?
Mm-hmm. And two dogs.
Wow, they really like pets.
I don't think the dogs belong to them, though.
Oh, they just kind of wandered in. It's kind of different, isn't it, that the dogs kind of go where they want to go? Mm-hmm. Did the house that you were in today, did they have a dirt floor or did they have a concrete floor in their house?
A dirt floor.
Dirt floor. And so were they, do you know, were they cooking over that dirt floor or were they cooking outside before you guys got there?
They had a kitchen area and they had wood on top of this platform area thing.
So it was kind of outdoors. Maybe it had a roof over it, but it wasn't really a room. Yeah, I've seen some of those. But it was all open, right? There was no chimney or any of that. So were they excited about the stove? Were they happy?
Yeah.
Anything else you guys would like to share with maybe family or friends that might be listening or to other people who may be considering coming on a mission sometime in the future? Any other final thoughts that you care to share?
I'd like to thank everybody who helped us with donations. We had a lot of family, friends, coworkers help us fill 6 50-pound bags. Last year we filled 1.5.
Wow.
This year we filled all 6 ourselves. So wow. that was nice. And so I'd like to thank everyone back home that helped us. And I would also encourage anyone who's thinking about coming, like, this is the one to come to. It's well organized. It's very safe. And I can't imagine not coming again.
Yay. Wow. We'd love to hear that. Any other final thoughts? They're all looking at each other, staring at the table.
Don't call on me.
If you do have any final thoughts, now is the time. Riley, any final thoughts?
Just kind of what you were saying, like, it's a very, like, well-planned-out mission. Like, if you're going to go on a mission trip, especially if it's your first time, like, I feel like this is, like, definitely the one to go on. And it's, like, so easy for us to come and, like, work for the week just because, like, so many other people put in a lot of work for weeks before we come. And, like, I think we're all really grateful for that because it makes our job much easier and everything runs really smoothly. It's all very organized. So, yeah, I'm just really grateful for that because this is, like, just a very well-planned-out mission trip.
Praise God. Anything else, Olivia? David?
Yeah, just totally agree with everything they said, Riley and Tina. But also, this year was also my first year to attend VBS. And so it was just an incredible experience seeing how many kids were there and seeing how much joy it brought to them. You know, you could just tell a lot of them. You know, I think it was maybe their first time ever there or to something like this. And so a lot of them seemed to be a little timid or nervous or just kind of didn't know what to expect. But you could just see, you know, they're watching us dance along to these songs, these big, goofy white people dancing around. And, and they're just, you know, trying not to laugh out loud at us. You know? But, you know, you could just tell that they were so happy to be there. So that was I think that was what stood out most to me today, and you know, a new experience for me on this trip. Just to see how much difference we can make in their lives. You know, it's, you could tell it was really something like it meant a lot to them. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, this was a good day. You know, it was like, it was really special for them. I could tell.
It was special. And one of the fun things about returning to communities, like this is our third year in San Miguel Dueñas, is a lot of the kids know us. They know the songs. Yeah. And so typically, you know, when you go to a new village and, you know, it takes you a week to introduce songs and, yeah, and just your relationship, you know, some trust, build some trust. Yeah. But to be able to stop the guitar and have them sing, yeah, it, you know, I'm getting goosebumps now remembering it. And the first day, it's like, wow, by Friday, we're going to blow the roof off this place. But they were really singing from their heart.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a very special, special thing. Well, thank you all for your time. Thank you for coming back to Guatemala. And again and again and again, Riley, we truly couldn't do this work without you. It's such a privilege and an honor to serve with you. And we thank you for your service to our Lord, to his children here in Guatemala. And thank you for sharing your stories in the podcast. So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.